4. He learnt at once from Alexei Yegorych that Varvara Petrovna had been very glad to hear that Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch had gone out for a ride, the first time he had left the house after 8 days' illness. She had ordered the carriage and had driven out alone for a breath of fresh air, according to the habit of the past, as she had forgotten for the last 8 days what it meant to breathe fresh air. Alone, or with Darya Pavlovna? Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch interrupted the old man with a rapid question, and he scowled when he heard that Darya Pavlovna had declined to go abroad on account of indisposition and was in her rooms. "Listen, old man," he said, as though suddenly making up his mind. "Keep watch over her all today, and if you notice her coming to me, stop her at once and tell her that I can't see her for a few days at least, that I ask her not to come myself. I'll let her know myself when the time comes. Do you hear?"
"I'll tell her, sir," said Alexei Yegorych, with distress in his voice, dropping his eyes.
"Not till you see clearly she's meaning to come and see me of herself, though.
Don't be afraid, sir, there shall be no mistake. Your interviews have all passed through me hitherto. You've always turned to me for help."
"I know. Not till she comes of herself, anyway. Bring me some tea, if you can, at once." The old man had hardly gone out when almost at the same instant the door reopened, and Darya Pavlovna appeared in the doorway. Her eyes were tranquil, though her face was pale.
"Where have you come from?" exclaimed Stavrogin.
"I was standing here and waiting for him to go out to come into you. I heard the order you gave him, and when he came out just now I hid round the corner on the right and he didn't notice me. I've long meant to break off with you, Dasha, for a while, for the present. I couldn't see you last night, in spite of your note. I meant to write to you myself, but I don't know how to write," he added with vexation, almost as though with disgust. "I thought myself that we must break it off. Varvara Petrovna is too suspicious of our relations."
"Well, let her be.
She mustn't be worried. So now we part till the end comes."
"You still insist on expecting the end?"
"Yes, I'm sure of it.
But nothing in the world ever has an end."
"This will have an end. Then call me. I'll come. Now, goodbye."
"And what sort of end will it be?" smiled Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch.
"You're not wounded and have not shed blood?" she asked, not answering his question.
"It was stupid. I didn't kill anyone. Don't be uneasy. However, you'll hear all about it today from everyone. I'm not quite well. I'm going.
The announcement of the marriage won't be today?" she said irresolutely.
"It won't be today, and it won't be tomorrow. I can't say about the day after tomorrow. Perhaps we shall all be dead, and so much the better. Leave me alone. Leave me alone, do.
You won't ruin that other mad girl?"
"I won't ruin either of the mad creatures. It seems to be the sane I'm ruining. I'm so vile and loathsome, Dasha, that I might really send for you. At the latter end, as you say. And in spite of your sanity, you'll come. Why will you be your own ruin?
I know that at the end I shall be the only one left you, and I'm waiting for that."
"And what if I don't send for you after all, but run away from you?"
"That can't be. You will send for me."
"There's a great deal of contempt for me in that."
"You know that there's not only contempt."
"Then there is contempt, anyway."
"I used the wrong word. God is my witness. It's my greatest wish that you may never have need of me."
"One phrase is as good as another. I should also have wished not to have ruined you."
"You can never, anyhow, be my ruin. And you know that yourself, better than anyone," Darya Pavlovna said, rapidly and resolutely. "If I don't come to you, I shall be a sister of mercy, a nurse. She'll wait upon the sick, or go selling the gospel. I've made up my mind to that. I cannot be anyone's wife. I can't live in a house like this either. This is not what I want. You know all that. No, I never could tell what you want. It seems to me that you're interested in me, as some veteran nurses get specially interested in some particular invalid in comparison with the others, or still more like some pious old women who frequent funerals and find one corpse more attractive than another. Why do you look at me so strangely? Are you very ill? She asked sympathetically, looking at him in a peculiar way. Good heavens! And this man wants to do without me. Listen, Dasha. Now I'm always seeing phantoms. One devil offered me yesterday on the bridge to murder Lebyadkin and Marya Timofeyevna, to settle the marriage difficulty and to cover up all traces. He asked me to give him 3 rubles on account, but gave me to understand that the whole operation wouldn't cost less than 1,500. Wasn't he a calculating devil? A regular shopkeeper? Ha ha! But you're fully convinced that it was an hallucination? Oh, no! Not a bit an hallucination. It was simply Fedka the convict, the robber who escaped from prison, but that's not the point. What do you suppose I did? I gave him all I had, everything in my purse, and now he's sure I've given him that on account. You met him at night, and he made such a suggestion. Surely you must see that you're being caught in their nets on every side. Well, let them be. But you've got some question at the tip of your tongue, you know. I see it by your eyes, he added with a resentful and irritable smile. Dasha was frightened. I've no question at all, and no doubt whatever. You'd better keep quiet, she cried in dismay, as though waving off his question. Then you're convinced that I won't go to Fedka's little shop? Oh, God, she cried, clasping her hands. Why do you torture me like this? Oh, forgive my stupid joke. I must be picking up bad manners from them. Do you know, ever since last night, I feel awfully inclined to laugh, to go on laughing continually for ever so long. It's as though I must explode with laughter. It's like an illness. Oh, my mother's coming in. I always know by the rumble when her carriage has stopped at the entrance. Dasha seized his hand. God save you from your demon, and call me. Call me quickly. Oh, a fine demon. It's simply a nasty, scrofulous imp with a cold in his head, one of the unsuccessful ones. But you have something you don't dare say again, Dasha. She looked at him with pain and reproach and turned towards the door. Listen, he called after her, with a malignant and distorted smile. If, yes, if, in one word, if you understand, even if I did go to that little shop, and if I called you after that, would you come then? She went out, hiding her face in her hands, and neither turning nor answering. She will come, even after the shop, he whispered, thinking a moment, and an expression of scornful disdain came into his face. A nurse. But perhaps that's what I want.